Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. You could follow them on X at BuildCentralOH. And every time I talk to Dorsey, something else is popping up in Central Ohio. We'll get into that in a minute. But right now he wants to talk about CODA, the CODA agreement, which stands for the Central Ohio Transit Authority. Dorsey, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us. What's going on with CODA? It's all yours, brother.
Thanks for having me on here. I appreciate the opportunity to speak here on this nice Friday as we head into the weekend. But yeah, I'm proud of my union and brothers and sisters at TWU Local 208. That's Transportation Workers Union Local 208. Jarvis Williams, their president, has done a tremendous job in his role of leadership there. And this was a kind of a generational contract for their union. I know in the past they felt like that maybe their voices hadn't been heard at the bargaining table. I went to a couple of the membership meetings when they were preparing to get ready to negotiate this contract, and a lot of the members had a lot of valid points. I know Jarvis took them down, took them all to heart, took those points to the bargaining table with his negotiation team, and I think he did an incredible job for his members and for the operators and the mechanics here in Central Ohio. And I think it's a major win, not just for the union, but I think it's a big win for CODA as well, especially as they try to get, more infrastructure, more things done here in Columbus and Central Ohio that are so important to not only our economy, but also the growth. You know, I've talked on your show that when I meet with folks that are coming in from out of town that are looking to build a facility, whether it's in Columbus or Franklin County or anywhere in Central Ohio, you know, after they talk about workers and diversity and inclusion, you know, do you have the workforce to build and maintain my project? And do they accurately reflect the community in which I'm working in? They start talking about infrastructure, and they want to make sure that people in some of these neighborhoods around the city and around the county that maybe are a little underserved, that they have an opportunity to get to these good jobs and these good careers. And not only is CODA providing a lot of good jobs and careers with their operators and with their mechanics, but also they're providing, you know, a great public service to get folks from these neighborhoods to these jobs as well. And it's, you know, the public transit system in CODA is just essential to any workforce and economic development strategy. And I just think that both sides really showed what you can do and what you can accomplish through collective bargaining. So my hat's off to them. TWU Local 208 and CODA got it done, like I said, together at the bargaining table. And that's a great thing for not only our city or our county, but also the entire region.
I'm so glad we're talking about transit because, you know, with income inequality that's so out of whack in this country, you got the people in the upper echelon, the more wealthy, who obviously drive their fancy cars. I get the impression all the time they really don't pay attention to the importance of transit and having a good transit system, because for the, you know, lower income people, they cannot afford any kind of car, let alone a good car. And that is their means of getting to and from work or where they have to go. And it's so important that we improve that infrastructure. And I'm glad to hear that's going on. And the other part of this conversation, Dorsey, is what transit workers had to face during the pandemic. It was really ugly. You know, like over in New York City, which is total transit, okay? Over 100 of our brothers and sisters passed away because of the craziness that was going. They didn't have the masks. They had people that were unruly as passengers. But it sounds like what's happening in Central Ohio is moving in the right direction. Am I getting that impression?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you talk about the city of Columbus growing and the region expanding. You know, there was a report that came out this week that Columbus and Austin, Texas are the two fastest growing cities in the United States, and Columbus is growing at unprecedented rates. And if workers can't get to the jobs, then not only does that hurt the working families, but it also hurts the neighborhoods and it hurts our economy. And like I was talking about with folks, you know, in some of these parts of the underserved community, it's essential to diversity, equity, and inclusion strategy that prioritizes sharing the benefits of economic growth with residents, you know, who have been denied a pathway to that middle class because of, you know, discrimination and where they live at geographically. So basically it comes down to, we need a strong transit system for area workers and businesses. Like you said, not everybody can drive to work. Not everybody has the means. And if everyone did, our roads, our streets, our highways would be more congested, and that would be bad for the economy and bad for the quality of life in our city, in our region. And, you know, this agreement is incredibly important also because a lot of the CDL holders and the skilled mechanics, you know, are in short supply here in Ohio, and this new contract provides COTA their workers with good pay, good benefits, great working conditions, to where hopefully they can grow the service and not only retain the workers they have, but also attract more workers now and in the future, and especially that next generation of workers. So this was just incredible, and like I said, I'm so glad that the union and COTA really got it right in this contract. And you know, this could segue right into Link Us. We can all work together to try to help, you know, not just Columbus but the whole region. And you know, I know that when they put on the ballot an increase to help fund Link Us and help grow the COTA transit system, I know that I'm going to be out front speaking in favor of it because it helps our economy, and I'm going to be urging our local unions and our members to get behind it as well. So this is just, like I said, it's just amazing. Expanding public transportation in Central Ohio is part of a pro-worker, pro-resident, pro-business, and also pro-DEI agenda. And I'm glad COTA and the TWU Local 208 got this thing right.
Covers all the bases. Yes, it does. You know, if you don't mind, while we're talking about transit, I know you're aware of this rail system, a high-speed rail system. I don't know how fast they're talking about, but there's been some news reports. This was a couple of months ago. It would connect Cleveland to Columbus to Cincinnati. I know there's a leg they're looking at from Cleveland to Chicago. What's the buzz in Central Ohio about all this happening?
The buzz in Central Ohio, especially outside of Franklin County, like in the rural areas, I think is huge. You know, my wife grew up in Eastern Ohio, very rural area. She's a big Pittsburgh sports fan. We try not to hold that against her all the time. Sometimes that does get in the way and cause some disagreements. But she's excited about the one line that talks about going from Pittsburgh, you know, through Muskingum County, stopping in Cambridge and Zanesville, and then coming to Columbus, heading northwest through Marysville, where we live, going all the way up into Lima, Fort Wayne, and then on to Chicago. So, you know, instead of having to drive 45 minutes, you know, wait in line at the airport for 30 minutes to an hour, check your bags, to take a 50-minute flight to Chicago, you know, you could board a train in Marysville and hopefully be into Chicago in 90 minutes or, you know, no longer than 2 hours. And plus, I think what a lot of people don't realize, because, you know, we do have folks here that have migrated from the East Coast and they're used to it because of Amtrak, but a lot of people don't realize, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I went to a Cavs game, and, you know, I left at like 3:30, 4 o'clock to get up there in time to get a bite to eat and make the tip at 7:30. How nice would it have been just to park my car in Columbus, get on the train, be able to do some work, return emails, whatever, on my laptop, and just rest and relax and let somebody else do that driving, you know, for that 60 to 90 minutes of how long it would take to get there by train, and not have to worry about fighting a spark, you know, for parking, if the weather's bad or whatever. I just think it's a great thing. I wish we would have done this 10 or 15 years ago, but it seems like it's finally starting to come to fruition. And I know a lot of people in Central Ohio are really excited about it. And like you talked about, and like we talked about with the COTA contract and public transit and helping take care of our infrastructure so we can continue to get our economy to grow, I think this ties into all of it as well. And they should not be competing. I think they should be working together.
Yeah, this is part of a national plan, too. I remember talking recently with the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO, and they're talking about like a link up on the West Coast between Los Angeles and Las Vegas. Oh my God, that would be so darn popular once they get that going. That is in the works. I know that. And, you know, we are so far behind when it comes to this. I mean, Europe, I mean, they're way ahead on trains. China has jumped on this with those 200-mile-an-hour trains. Japan has done the same. So it'd be cool to see this happen in the United States. It would be very, very cool, as a matter of fact. Before we talk about the airport expansion, I want to thank you for throwing us some more new guests on America's Workforce. We recently had a conversation with IBEW Local 683 about all the work they're doing because of the expansion of, oh my God, you got the Intel project, expansion of Facebook, Google, Amazon, and also our sheet metal worker friend, Smart Local 24. Feel free to throw us some more because we want to highlight all the good things that are happening in Central Ohio. I know you can do that for me. Can't you do that for Flash here, buddy?
I can. I can get more people on for you. It was great. I just re-listened to the Josh Williams interview this morning on my way in, and hearing him talk about his career as a professional MMA fighter and now as a trainer, and how he kind of got hooked up in the sheet metal workers, and relating the competition that he had when he was training or fighting to competition on the job, and with other members, and just doing as best as he can and learning the trade and helping everybody out, and a true team spirit. I mean, Josh is solid. He's one of our good young business agents, and so proud of the work that he and Jeff Hunley and Rodney French and the guys are doing over at Sheet Metal Workers Local 24, like everybody, to go out and get folks into our local unions to let them know about these opportunities and take care of these opportunities on these jobs that we talk about daily, the Googles and Facebooks and Amazons and DBT Data and Intel and Honda and OSU Medical Center. And It's amazing the opportunities we have, and we're trying to make sure that we get out in the community and give everybody a chance to take advantage of these opportunities, no matter what trade they're interested in.
Dorsey, speaking of Intel, I heard a story recently that might be delayed a little bit. You got any information on that?
I think what they're doing is, I think that their plans, when they announced the groundbreaking in, I think it was September of 21, I know it was in 21, but when they, or I'm sorry, 22, when they announced the groundbreaking, I think that they had a very aggressive schedule. I think they wanted to shoot for 30 months, and they wanted to have close to 10,000 people on the project. You know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done out there with roads and bridges, widening roads, expanding bridges, also the heavy equipment that's coming in. I know a lot of heavy equipment is coming up the Ohio River on barges that's being let out in Cincinnati, and then on the weekends, they're bringing that up on huge long-haul heavy-duty tractor trailers up to the job site just east of Columbus and New Albany. So, I mean, these guys know better than me. They've built chip plants all over the world. But I know that at the groundbreaking, and I know when I went to Portland and when I went to Phoenix, I thought the schedule was a little aggressive. So let's say instead of 10,000 people over 30 months, let's say it's maybe 6,000 to 7,000 people over 60 months. I mean, I'll be okay with that. I'll give you a good example, and I shared this with one of our members. I was with my wife at dinner the other night, and she asked the same thing you did. And she goes, how many folks are out there right now? And I said, about 900 tradespeople. And she's like, 900, that's it? And I'm like, well, compared to 10,000, that's not a lot, but it's still the third largest job going on in Central Ohio right now. You got to put it in perspective. She's like, yeah, I guess you're right. So 900 people, it's a lot of people. I know that we met a couple weeks ago. I can't go too much into the details, but Bechtel's came out with a very aggressive manpower schedule. They're very interested in pre-apprenticeship, outreach, building futures. We've got some building futures grads out there already, electricians and pipe fitters that they're very excited about, and they want to do more of that. They also want to see what they can do to do more outreach in Licking County, Muskingum County, Perry County, to help a lot of those folks as well. So we're going to be partnering with Bechtel, and we're going to be working hard with Intel. And, you know, I'd like to say the next me is going to be working with them to help build this project as well, but I would say it's probably a couple of me's down the road, because I think they're going to be building a lot of fab and chip plants out there, and I would say the construction is going to go on for at least 25 to 30 years. So we're excited about it.
Well, you should be if it's going to go on that long. Wow. All right, well, let's switch gears here. And I know this was really, really occupying a whole lot of your time, and it's very frustrating for you. It's frustrating for me, frustrating for a lot of the politicians and labor leaders in Central Ohio. And we're talking about the expansion, and we're talking a $2 billion expansion of the Columbus Airport. Last couple of shows, you kind of laid it out. Maybe you could summarize where we are right now with this project.
Yeah, I mean, we're still willing to come to the table and work towards an agreement. It's unfortunate that the CEO, Joe Nardone, has not been at the table or inserted himself in the last 7.5 months. He's the owner. He's the one that's going to own this project on behalf of the Columbus Regional Airport Authority. I've sent communications to every board member. The only board member that has reached out and that has met with me is Kenny McDonald, CEO of the Downtown Partnership, and I think he knows how important this is. It's like I said to him, I said, Kenny, I said, we got to get this right. I said, we can't have an out-of-state contractor bringing out-of-state workers in to build this project and then using diversity as a prop on why they're doing it. You know, I said, there's a lot of people in the Central Ohio that are upset NAACP, Central Ohio Workers Center. I said the building trades is not appreciative of the stance that CEO Joe Nardone has had. I mean, you know, we have to read about the project in the paper, you know, when in very rural, you know, red Republican counties like Licking County and Fayette County, months before the announcement is made, you know, the new president of Honda of America, you know, flies in on a Friday evening at the end of his work week to meet with me to discuss the battery project. And that's 48 miles from Columbus. That's how important it is to him. And, you know, our own CEO of our own regional airport here can't say, hey, we're going to build a $2 billion airport. It's going to take a lot of skilled tradespeople. You know who provides a lot of skilled tradespeople and a diverse workforce of women and people of color and vets? The building trades. Maybe I should reach out to them. But that thought, I don't think, ever crossed his mind this summer, this fall, or this winter. So very disappointing, not only that we do not have an agreement on there that guarantees everybody's going to make union wages, health care, and pension benefits, but it's also very disappointing that the CEO and a president of a major board that's appointed by all Democrats in this city and county is either that aberrant or that ignorant to realize who he should be reaching out to in the community to help make sure that this project is done right.
So is there a chance? I know you're doing your best here, and I can only assume that especially the local media there in Central Ohio has got to be raising this issue and trying to get some indication that there's going to be a crack here. Maybe they'll bend a little bit, change their mind. Do you get any of that? Is any of that possible here at this stage?
I mean, we're hopeful, but again, it's CEO Joe Nardone, I think, that holds all the cards. You know, when we negotiated a PLA, like I said, with the battery plant, when we negotiated a PLA with the chip plant, when we negotiated a PLA with the Franklin County Jail, you know, the Franklin County commissioners were at the table with that PLA. They didn't just say, oh, well, you know, Gil Bain's going to build this, talk to them. Intel didn't say, well, Bechtel's going to build this, talk to them. Honda didn't say, hey, Turner, Yates, Kokosin is going to build this, talk to them. They said, no, we want a local, skilled, and diverse workforce to build this on time, safely, and under budget. And you know who can do that? The building trades. That's who we want you to enter an agreement with, and that's who we want you to talk with. So I know the mayor is very frustrated. I know he's reached out to CEO Joe Nardone multiple times. I met with County Commissioner Kevin Boyce a couple of weeks ago, as did Mark Fluharty from the Central Labor Council, who's been kind of my partner in crime on this. And I know he's extremely frustrated. I know all the county commissioners are frustrated. They've sent letters to the board, and they've sent letters to the CEO. Council President Hardin Pro Tem Dorns have, outgoing Franklin County engineer Cornell Robertson, a Republican, sent a letter in support of a CBA. The whole House and Senate Democratic caucus have sent in a letter in support of a PLA. So the media is all over at all three of the major stations, 4, 6, and 10. The Dispatch calls probably every other day for an update. I've done interviews with Columbus Business First, done interviews with national news media as well, the Washington Post and and the Wall Street Journal. So we'll see what happens. It's a big public work project. It's important. It's transformative. It's generational. And like I said, there's a lot of miscommunication out there that all these guys are just crying and screaming because they want every contractor to be a union. No, we want every person who works on that project to earn union wages, union health care, union pension, so they can take part in this $2 billion project and provide for themselves and their families and grow the middle class here in Columbus and Central Ohio. That's what we're looking for.
That's what we want. That's what we want. We should point out that the contractor hired, Hensel Phelps, is an out-of-state contractor, and they appear to be a member of ABC, Associated Builders and Contractors, which is a notorious anti-union organization. So this has to be turned around. It has to be turned around. All right, let's try to end here on a positive note. Building futures, you touched on this a little bit here, but what's the latest? I know you just love talking about building futures here and driving futures, but building futures, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, we talk about this all the time. There's days I drive in, I'm a little frustrated about the airport. Maybe there's something on a job site that happens. But at the end of the day, try to take a deep breath and just think of all the good that we're doing in the community and all the good that we're doing for everybody who's had an opportunity to either join the building trades here recently because of the work or has been in the building trades and has had a really good career. So building futures, we've got our two cohorts all scheduled, lined up. So far for this year, the first two cohorts schedule's been made. Eli Wenzel, our program director at the Building Trade, has done a great job with that, working with Derek Foster, the program manager over at Creating Central Ohio Futures, and their CEO, Leland Bass. We've got a big open house at our new training center in March. I'll make sure I get the information to you, and we follow that up maybe on a future interview. But also we I've got the schedule all laid out. We've got the class of 25. They actually started 2 weeks ago with their soft skills, financial literacy, a lot of construction math and stuff. So we're all really, really excited. And we've had a lot of trades already reach out, you know, electricians, sheet metal workers, pipe fitters, insulators, cement masons, you know, a lot of them that are iron workers who are asking when this class is going to be ready to go so they can start placing these folks at a lot of these projects that we've been talking about. And hopefully the airport. We'll see. We'll see. But hopefully, we'll see.
I know you're not going to give up on this one. No, no, no. It probably wakes you up at night.
it encompasses a lot of my time. You're right.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All right, Dorsey, we're going to leave it there. Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. Follow them on X, Build Central. OH. You take care, my brother. We'll talk to you in a month, okay?
You too, Flash, the three greatest words in sports, pitchers and catchers report. Actually, that's four words, isn't it? Pitchers and catchers report. Spring training has started. Opening day is right around the corner. I'm looking forward to it. So we can talk about that when we catch up here in a month, all right?
There you go. You got it, buddy. Take care.